It's salt time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, our grandson spent the night with us last night. You say, well, that should be a joyous thing. Well, it is. My little namesake, little David. But little David likes to sleep in the bed with Gigi and I. And even though little David's only about that long, he takes up most of the bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I sort of had sleep. I think you would call what I had last night sleep. And glad to have him here. He's sitting up there having some breakfast. He'll probably come wandering down here in a few minutes. Got a good night's sleep, rested. I got kind of a funny, not funny, it's not the right word. I don't want to call it a flea flicker Friday because it's not Friday and it's not a flea flicker, but I got some specific things I want to try to cover here with you today. And so it'll be like, we'll go do the first 15 minutes of Rush Limbaugh and we'll go to break. We'll come back and it might be a different topic. Usually we come out and I throw something on the table, we chew it up and we go after it and it's good. And I can do that today, but I got several things I want to make sure that we cover quickly. Mike Spaulding event this weekend in Brookville, Ohio. If you're not signed up to go, I'm not going to take time to play the video there. Most people, I send it to you, Spencer. I'm not giving you a hard time, but, folks, it's only $20. It's only $20 to be there. And I know some guys that are coming from a long distance. Others aren't coming from a long distance. But if there's any chance you can get up there, come and join it. Because just of the good time we all have together, fellowshipping and strategizing and making plans. And Jamie Walden's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Throw that up, speakers. You can find out real quick for me, Spence. Speakers. Oh, David. Oh, I forgot. David Heavener's coming. Dr. Spaulding, Jamie Walden. Mike, I'm going to go. I'm gone. Coach Dave's going to be there. Oh, I didn't know she's going to be there. David Arthur for $20. Are you kidding me? David Paxton, Neil Peterson. All right. You say, Coach, you should have been giving me more. You should have given me more notice. I've been giving you notice for how long? It's this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And, I asked Mike, I didn't ask him. I texted Mike, and he says he expects a lot of walk-ups. So if you haven't pre-registered, it's okay, man. It's okay. And if you need some place to stay on the way, let's say you're coming from New Jersey and you need a place to stay on Thursday night, I know a place where you can stay on Thursday night. So get a hold of us and let us know. I got to do this real quick. This came out of nowhere. Let me throw the – hey, listen. I visited a place yesterday where we're going to host Russ Dizdar. Man, I got a story to tell you on that one, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. Put that on your schedule again. Dizdar is coming up on the 23rd, 24th of April. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the calendar tomorrow. I'm not going to mess with it this morning. You guys can find it yourself and go there. But I want to, Rochelle, I want you to get ready because I'm going to have you talk about something here this morning, okay? And Ohio Brett, I got to pull you in here just a second because, folks, I got a phone call from Ohio Brett, and I want him to testify to this because I believe this kind of thing is happening to many of you. Now, I've known Brett for probably 15, maybe 20 years. I've known Brett for a long time, casually, but I've known him, right? And then we've gotten a little bit closer together here over the last 6-7 months, and he's in the queue here every day. I mean, Ohio Brett's being Ohio Brett, but we know the school's been shut down. That's kind of what he does, yada yada yada. So he's gone through a red pilling in his own life, saying, "Wow, I'm seeing this stuff." So Ohio Brett shows up at one of his honking waves yesterday in his hometown of Dublin, Ohio. A bunch of people said they were going to come with him. They didn't all come. That doesn't matter. But he was faithful. He was out there doing the honking ride and after honking wave. And after he was done doing the honking wave, he started to hear from some of his buddies. Now, listen, I want all of you out there to listen, okay? Because if you are associated with what we are doing here, people are going to Google me, and then they're going to start worrying that you've lost your mind. And so Brett's going to testify that this second. Go ahead. Do that real quick, Brett. Just do a setup on that
thing. You got it, Coach. And when they Google something, it goes to the 10 worst liberal slanted articles and videos. So just think about that. Your 10 worst days in your life, and you're judged on that. And they're going to take Coach Dave out of context. And they were actually calling me because they're worried about me. They're worried about me because I'm on Coach Dave's team. And I want to encourage all of you, because you'll get it from your family members. You'll get it from fraternity brothers. You'll get it from former football buddies. But that's okay, because at some point in time in your life, you have to know whom and who you serve. For me, I tell them I trust and obey Jesus Christ in my life. I want his will to be done. I don't worship Coach Dave live. I don't worship Coach. I'm on his team. I believe in what he does. I believe in what he stands for. Are we going to disagree on a few things from time to time? Of course. Of course. Coach Dave isn't going to like a lot of the things Ohio Brett does. But that's the quick testimony on it. But go back to your, where are you grounded on, friends?
Amen.
Each one of us has to get right. And I just want to say again, Coach, thank you so much for that check you gave me. That covered, you know, half of all my expenses so far. So thank you so much for your cheerful giving. Again, if you do feel after prayer that you want to help support the gas, the staying at small hotels and this travel, I'm on a 21-day blitz. So thank you so much for that support. And you just give it to Coach Dave, and he'll give it to me.
I gave Brett a $1,500 check the other day, which was given by you guys. Okay, so I want you to know the money went to him. He's halfway. That's half of what we promised we would get him. So if you have a chance to do that. Hey, let's do something real quickly here. Google me. Hey, Stuart, Spencer, Google me. Just go to Google and Google me. So that you understand what your friends are finding when they go to look me up. They don't know anything about me, so they Google Coach Dave Dobbin or Coach Dave. What Coach? No, I don't want that, brother. Let's see. Yeah. Just let's see what pops up. Okay, America's most Christian football coach rejected from job. Let's see. Google is not complimentary to me. Okay, do you understand that? Because some of you are going to begin to have to deal with this. These are the things that pop up in your, when you do a Google search, they don't say nice things about me. Controversial former coach talks about masculinity, religious advocate, son. It is not good stuff, okay? So that's what Brett found out. Brett knows who I am. He knows
my coach. I want to let you know what my conversation back was. Really? You're going to go search a Google search with all the slanted articles and videos. Okay. Well, and you won't watch one show, 1 hour. And by the way, let me send you what he wrote on February 25th with the quote. He references Woody Hayes and Tiger Woods, and you send him the article. But this is no different, friends. This is no different than the propaganda that we're choking on with the masks and vaccine. People have been marinating in propaganda. So yes, we can be calm in truth that we trust in the Lord in every single way and don't lean under our own understanding, and we acknowledge him in every way. I'm proud to be on this team. None of us.
Isn't it great though, Brett, that you have some friends who are actually concerned about you? That's great. That's great, isn't it?
And I could reach right back out to them. It goes both ways.
Amen. Amen. So again, folks, a lot of people see, do you guys know this yet? I could go back to the Ezekiel 3 mark. Should I do that right now? I don't even have that on my... Let's go. Let's go to the mark of Ezekiel. I think it's Ezekiel 3. Folks, this is some of you. This is some of you. And verse 4, and he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of an hard language, but you're sent to folks who are believers, the house of Israel. That's who I'm sending you to. And he said, not to many people of strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would hearken unto you. But the house of Israel won't hearken unto you, for they will not hearken unto me. For they are house of Israel, are impudent and hard-hearted. And behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces. Folks, we are missionaries to the church in many ways, okay? They've made your made our face hard against theirs. So your forehead strong against their forehead. You're not going to back down when these people come and they're making these accusations. And as an adamant harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And he said, so, son of man, all the words that I shall speak unto you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and then go and get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of the people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear. Then the Spirit rises them up, and I heard beyond it. I don't want to get into it. But do you understand? Folks, we are missionaries of the church. We're missionaries of the church. We're trying to wake up our brothers and sisters. The mark of Ezekiel. Maybe that's Ezekiel 9. But that was good right there. Okay?
And Coach, thanks for bringing this up. And I'll close with that they weren't attacking me. They weren't attacking Coach Dave. They were attacking the Bible. So I said, you're going to get mad at me because I actually believe what this says.
Amen.
I reference them right back to the Bible.
Yes, sir.
King
yes,
James
sir.
Version.
Amen. Missionaries to the church, baby. Missionaries to the church, baby. That's what
Coach, can I say something to Brett?
Sure, Joe.
Brett, I see that you traveled down here in the South. I'm originally from Washington State, but there's a phrase here down in the South that you got to learn since you traveled down here. And that is non-woke and woke. These people are not woke.
But we're going to try to woke them. We're going to do our best.
Well, I'm doing my best. Thank you for sharing that. Because a strong safety blitz isn't gentle.
No.
It is with massive force. And I'm probably going to collide with a pulling guard or a fullback on a toss sweep. And I'm not smiling. Collision, you don't smile.
That's right. And you know what, Brett? Some of the guys that you spoke to yesterday, you probably are beginning to awaken. They'll get it. They'll get them at the right place. They'll get it. Let's go real quickly. I got something. Joseph, I'm going to have you read this one and get ready. Myra, go ahead, then Clay, then Dale, then Larry. Go, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How are you?
Love you, dear.
In regard to the HR5 Equality Act,
yep.
I've been calling. Nobody even answered the phone.
Yeah.
I just want to let them know that I don't agree with it. And it's blasphemy against my Lord and
Amen.
Savior.
Amen, Myra. There's two issues. See, we think they care what we think. They don't care what we think, right? They sooner we realize that, then we'll get it. But we need to keep calling. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. There's somebody else pulling their chains, baby. Somebody else. Come on in, Clay. Love you, Myra.
Hey, I just wanted to second that, what Brett's talking about. You know, when I gave my testimony the other day, Coach?
Yeah.
One thing I didn't get into was what that situation Brett's running into. And I can tell you that before I got associated with this group, my phone would ring or call. Somebody might call me out of my family, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks. Give me about 30 seconds of their time. And now my phone, I got people contacting me and texting me all day long, all week long. It's a good trade-off. So, Brett, you got that block button, and you can also block people from looking at your Facebooks. So if your family won't come around, just use those.
Amen, Clay. I've had to use that one myself. That's right,
bro.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, you know, one of the things is that, you know, and I'm thinking about Brett and Clay is that if our family members, because I've known you before you even did this show, you know, when to get them to think, because if they're conservative in any sense of the mind or a Christian, you know, first off, Proverbs chapter 6:18 talks about, you know, one, God hates he who sows discord amongst the brethren. So if you're just siding with Google, I say this. Challenge yourself, Google Joe Biden, and see all the nice things that it says about Joe Biden. That should be the red flag up the pole to say, you know what? Google is slanted. We know this. So you can't just do something like that. So if you can get them to do that instead of just, oh, we're going to block you, blah, blah, give them the opportunity to for them to examine their own thing. Because if you're going to look up something on Google, you already know how that's going to come across. Amen. Go to DuckDuckGo. Or better yet, here, pick up the phone and call Coach. Talk to him. Listen to his testimony. What you saying, what they're saying about you on Google, let me tell you what, brother, I think that is a badge of honor.
Oh, I do too, Neil. You're saying
things that pastors won't say. Brother, I love you. That's it.
Thanks. Larry, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, hey, you know, what you read there in Ezekiel, notice that God told Ezekiel to go tell them, go tell them, go tell them. And then he told them, they're not going to listen, but go tell them.
Go tell them.
So we're going to, you know, we're instructed many times to go tell them, but don't expect to be listened to. Do not expect to be listened to.
That's not about being loved. Come on in, Rod. Good word, Larry.
I was just going to say to Ohio Brett, we can tell you and support you and tell you you're good and encourage you, but I have found in this area, there's no stronger encouragement than the 12 disciples, a study of the disciples. Mm-hmm. I think our support at times will carry you for a day. It might carry you for a week. You got friends, mm-hmm. people that are out there. But if you will dig through scripture and understand the 12 disciples and what they went through, it will carry you for a lifetime.
That's right. Persecution. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. On account of me. Okay, so now listen. Oh, go ahead, Mark. I'll let Mark Trump jump in here. And then I got...
This is super quick. We are talking to people who go to the apostate church.
That's right, man.
They're not even churches. So if you're talking to them about the apostate church and they're in it, they are not going to be in it. That's another church. So the point is they are in the church. There's no one in that apostate church who's going to say, yes, my church is fallen.
That's right.
Who's going to do that?
Nobody. Nobody's going to do that. That's a great point, Mark. they're in the midst of the pool complaining that I got water dripping off of me, right? They don't get it. They're incapable of it. I think that's a great point. They can't. If they could see, they wouldn't be where they are. If they could see, they couldn't possibly stay there. So let me make this point real quickly, because I got two emails yesterday or texts, it doesn't matter. And I love it when that you guys are concerned about truth enough that you contact me. So somebody said, Coach, that thing that you, I, it doesn't matter who it was. I'm not, it doesn't really, they weren't attacking me, anything like that. They said, Coach, that thing you showed the other day on the kingdom about, the ranking, you know, how it all said. I was going to get it ready today and couldn't. Said, Coach, was that from a Jehovah's Witness website? And I said, yeah. Yeah. You think everything the Jehovah's Witnesses believe is wrong? You believe everything they believe is wrong? Could I take you and show you some things that the Methodists believe that's wrong? Could I show you some things that the Catholics believe that's wrong? Could I show you some things that the Presbyterian believe that is wrong? So that I see, I didn't try to sneak it by anybody. I didn't put the Jehovah Witness thing at the top. Why? Because I didn't want to have an argument over whether or not it was coming from the correct source. You understand? You understand? Because if you read that, you would agree what we read as truth. Is it not truth because JW said it? So I just want everybody to know I'm not trying to sneak anything over on you. I just didn't want to fight about it. I just didn't want to get into the discussion of whether the Jehovah's Witnesses are Christians. Are you with me? So those of you out there who are kind of were worried, boy, Coach snuck some Jehovah Witness stuff in. No, I stuck some truth in. It just happened to come from the Jehovah's Witnesses. We all good? Huh? Because that's the stuff we're talking about here, see? And you know what will happen? Uh-oh, I'm going to bust you out. Sit down, hold on to the edge of your chair. Because some of you within the queue have been talking to one another about Coach promoting the Jehovah's Witnesses. You don't have to confess. That's okay. You don't have to confess. I just know that's been happening, see? Oh, my goodness. Some of you haven't been with us long enough to understand. That's okay. I get it. So that's all cool. Can I tell you something else I want to talk about today? If I get time, now you're getting me rolling here, okay? If I get time, I'm going to point out something else to you. First of all, the kingdom's here. Kingdom has already come. And you can argue that all you want to. You don't have to believe it. I've told you that for 2 days. The kingdom's already within you. It's already here. And I'm going to tell you this. Are you ready to sit down? I'm not going to argue about it today. But boys and girls, the church is not the bride of Christ. You won't find that anywhere in script. I'm going to say this very slowly, and then maybe I'll come back to it. And I didn't get this from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I didn't get this from the Catholics, and I don't even think I got this from the Methodists. But when I open up my Bible, it says in Revelation, come, I'll show you the bride. And he takes him and he shows him the bride. And what does he see? The New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. And you can search wherever you want to throughout the entire scriptures, and you will never see the church called the bride of Christ. Now they have comparisons. They're comparing it to, but they never ever call the church the bride of Christ. And I didn't get that from the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, cool.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not. Coach. All right, thanks. Maybe I'll get to that this morning.
Coach.
Yeah.
Very briefly, who does the bride marry?
The groom.
Jesus. Wait. The bride marries Jesus. I thought he was the head and we were the body.
Seems simple to me, brother.
Hey, okay, hold on now. If he's the head and we're the body, and we're the arms and legs of Jesus on earth, doing his will, him our head leading us, and Jesus, the head and the body, marries the bride, how can we claim to be the bride? How?
Okay, Mark, let me stop you a second, because right now we are experiencing great cognitive dissonance. Great. Because most people who are watching me right now have been taught and constantly repeat that we are the bride of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, find the scripture that tells me that and send it to me. Would you do that for me? Somebody do that for me? Because I can show you twice where in Book of Revelation where he says, come and I'll show you the bride. I can show you twice. See, folks, there have been a lot of fables that we've been taught that simply are not true. Sorry. Oh, I'm going to say, but Coach, it's non-essential. Not worth going to war over. Okay, I agree. It's not. But you're not going to hear me call myself the bride. I am not the bride. I am not the bride. I'm the body of Christ, as are you.
Hey, Coach. Amen. Amen.
You know, Paul used that analogy.
Analogy.
Now, here's the thing. However you want to take that, one of the things, as many things, including rapture, you never build a theology of belief based on one passage of scripture or even two. Whether it should thread itself out through many scriptures in order to be a solid theology. This is where we take mistakes, because you know this. People will take one little passage of scripture and they will encapsulate a theology on that.
Revelation 19, pull that up for me. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to camp here just a second, okay? Because I have to do this because I feel some of you quaking in your knees because your pastor that you've been sitting under for 40 years told you that we are the bride. Okay? Okay. Fine. Scroll down. Revelation 19. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Now, listen. For you to have made yourself ready, that appears to me to be works-based. If you have to make yourself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. Hang on a minute. If you're the bride, you have to be called to the marriage supper. If you're the bride, do you have to be called to your own wedding? He said, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Right? Now, that's not what I'm... come show me the Lamb. Where is that? Revelation. I know it's 19. Go to, what are you? Are you in 19 or 21? Go to 21. Revelation 20. I didn't want to do this. You guys are making me do this. And he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, but fearing and unbelieving. Keep going. See, I hate it when I do, when I'm not prepared to do this. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Show me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Go back up to verse to 9, I think it is. Yes, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me and said, hey, dude, come over here. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There's the bride of Christ. Okay, I'm moving on. You do your own research. It's not from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's from the Gospel of Isaiah. But I'm going to tell you, is it any wonder, oh, Lord, do I have to say that? Is it any wonder the church is so effeminized if we think we're a bride? We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, piggybacking on what Dale had to say, anytime you take a truth and try to make it the truth, you're walking on thin ice.
That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. And I've heard all those theologians say, well, we become the bride. Okay, how does that happen? You can say that if you want to. Just tell me how that happens, will you? Boy, I feel the cognitive dissonance coming out of there. See, some of you are reading what I'm saying, and you don't want to believe it. So you go dig. Jeff Nell will give $5 to anybody who finds any place in Scripture where the church is called the Bride of Christ. That phrase. Jeff Nell, no, okay, Jeff said 15. He'll give $15 to any of you who find that, okay? So we'll be waiting tomorrow. Jeff, don't worry about your money. I got you covered, brother. You ain't going to have to do it, okay? Not going to have to do it. See, yes, thanks, Kimberly. See, so these are the kind of things that I think it's important. It's important when we get together and we don't all believe the same thing. Let's get to the truth. Let's get to the truth. Rochelle, come on in.
Good morning. That's a handsome young man you've got there, Coach.
That is. David, they're saying you're handsome. Did you know people were saying you're handsome?
Hi. Just two things real quick. Guys, don't be afraid of Jehovah Witnesses. It must have been like 15 years ago. I met every Tuesday with a couple of them, and they do have, you know, yeah, they're messed up in some ways, but in some ways they got me really, really thinking. So they've got some good stuff. Don't be afraid. Be nice.
Hey,
to them.
Folks, the Baptists don't even believe in the Holy Spirit hardly anymore, do they? In the gifts?
Right. And then the other thing is, about the, just real quickly, and I'm not even going to go, but the bride of Christ, the things that you look for in there, like in the book of Revelation, it'll say, I'll make you pillars in the new Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. So certain things get you certain rewards. I don't know. But I think there might be something to that. He makes stones to be a part of the, he gives you, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, that was all.
How about this one, Rochelle? And then in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Well, what if, I've got to say that, Lord. Okay, I will. What if those mansions are people, vessels?
Yeah, he compares us to stars. Look at when he tells Abraham, you know, your offspring will be like the stars. And then in Enoch, you read how people are the stars with the light. So, yeah, there's a lot to it.
Okay, listen. Hey, listen, that's what I like about the show. Maybe you don't. I love talking about these things. If it's not true, I want to know it. And I'm not going to go to war with you because you guys don't agree with me. Okay, listen, I got Larry, one more. Larry's hands up or he didn't take it down. No more hands for a minute because I promised you I was going to do four things. This will be good too. Larry, no, okay. Pull up the commentary from the day. Joseph, I want you to get ready to read it for us. Look, I gotta have to tell you this. I hate it when I say, here, read what I wrote today. But it is what I do. And it is germane to where we are, okay? So today's commentary, I think, is really, it was so good. John Diamond emailed me this morning and says, wow, coach, great commentary this morning, because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay. So I trust, I like Joseph to read it, because when he reads it, I see my mistakes. I see my all the typos and all that. But folks, the title of this today was called Show Me the Law. Okay. And the very first paragraph of this is super important. Go ahead, Joe, if you would.
Thank you, sir. Here we go. Show me the law. If we do not get an understanding of how America was designed to operate, we have no chance of restoring this nation. Basic civics is no longer taught in America's government schools because those who are in control of the government do not want you to understand how we have been snookered. The Supreme Court of the United States has become the most powerful branch of government. Our founders never designed it to be that way. Our government is lawless.
Amen!
Briefly, there are three branches of government in the American Constitutional Republic system. They are the legislative branch, which is solely responsible for making laws, the judicial branch, which is charged with the interpretation of laws, the executive branch, which ensures the execution and enforcement of laws.
Time out. How many of you just knew that? Huh? I wonder how many young kids graduating from high school today understand that very basic thing. I'd say, what, 2%? Go ahead.
Although it is much more complicated than I have stated, the roles of the three branches are clearly defined. Congress makes laws, the courts interpret the law when a dispute arises, and the president is responsible for seeing the laws properly executed or enforced. I am pulling from memory my 1970s high school education, when the school's job was to teach civics, social studies, and history to the students. In fact, POD, Problems of Democracy, was required for graduation. My fellow folks remember it. Today, they have substituted such stellar classes as How to Masturbate in place of POD.
Amen! Amen!
This is how they have subverted America and subdued an entire nation through the illegal edicts of governors, mayors, and various health officials. Just because something is a good idea, quote-unquote, or protects vulnerable people, quote-unquote, or slows the curve, quote-unquote, is not reason enough to blindly obey a non-law. In America, there is clearly defined processes to make laws, and good intentions are not valid rationale for implementing pretended legislation. Most Americans have never heard that term before, but it is listed specifically in the Declaration of Independence as a reason to throw off the chains of the king. Here is a quote from the Declaration. Quote, he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, unquote. Pretended legislation leads to pretended offenses. That sort of sounds like mask mandates, social distancing, health mandates, and non-essential businesses, doesn't it, my fellow Americans? Color of law is the term they use for that. Color of law refers to an act done under appearance of legal authorization when, in fact, no such right existed.
When, in fact, no such right existed. Keep going, Joe.
By the way, it is a crime to execute a law that is pretended legislation. Here's what the federal law states. Read it and weep, boys and girls, or girls who claim to be boys. We have been snookered again. Let us cry out. Let us cut to the chase. Only legislatures can make laws. state legislatures make laws that apply to the residents of a particular state. Federal laws are made by Congress and apply to all residents under the jurisdiction of the federal government in Washington. Cities make codes or ordinances which only apply to that city. Judges cannot make laws. Courts interpret laws. It is impossible for a court to make a law. Roe versus Wade is a court opinion. Homosexual marriage is a court opinion. Opinions are not laws. Only legislatures can make laws. There is no law legalizing abortion or same-sex marriage. Do you get it yet? Abortion was never legalized. Check the books. 31 states still have laws defining marriage as one man and one woman. The SCOTUS nullified those laws. They did not legalize gay marriage. They cannot. For homo marriage to ever be legal, the legislature or a direct vote of the people could ever make it a law. Period. Courts cannot make laws. Legislatures make laws. Is your memory of high school civics kicking in yet? The Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. When a tyrant gets in power, they create more tyranny. Tyranny is, quote, the exercise of power over subjects and others with a rigor not authorized by law or justice.
Not authorized by law or justice. Huh. Okay.
So let me circle back. Since at least 1947, when the Everson versus Board of Education opinion of SCOTUS declared that, quote, a separation between the church and state, unquote, America has been on a highway to hell dictated by an unelected government officials who had no authority to impose their belief on we, the people. The Supreme Court decision ever, no Supreme Court decision ever created a law. Our ignorance has enabled the government to impose upon uninformed Americans under quote-unquote pretended legislation a false quote-unquote color of law that the dumbed-down public believe they must obey.
Wow, this is good! Go!
We have been subjected to the tyranny of the fake laws that have slowly and surely destroyed the liberties of the American people. Mandates are not laws. Want me to wear a mask? Pass a law. Want me to stop going to church? Pass a law. Want me to take a vaccination? Pass a damn law. At least count, Mr. Biden has, at last count, Mr. Biden has signed 50 executive orders. Executive orders are not laws. Remember, presidents cannot make laws. Travel restrictions, business closings, school closings, social distancing, abortions, homosexual marriages, transgender rights, health mandates. Thomas Jefferson warned us, quote, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be, unquote. Color of law, pretended legislation, enough already. Show us the law. Only when we are no longer ignorant can we hope to be free.
Ooh-rah! Ooh-rah! Mic drop on that one. How many of you right now scratching your head said, God, I didn't know that. Be honest! Be honest! You don't have to do it on camera. You can move away from the camera so nobody can see it. And scratch your head and say, I never knew that. I never knew that. What do you think, John Diamond? Am I saying the right thing there? Get you in before you have to take your kids to school.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to leave. I'll tell you what, if that was the only thing a high school senior taught, they'd know more than pretty much every government official we have serving right now.
Hey, it's pretended legislation. Folks, listen, it is a crime. It's a crime. Hey, go back up there a little bit, Spencer, if you can. While he's going on, come on in, Joe Allen. Come on in. Keep on going. I'll tell you when. Go to federal laws.
I was told by a significant other at an abortion clinic that all religion, Catholics and such, are non-binary religion.
There, right there. Non-binary religion, what do you mean?
Yeah, he was confused.
Sounds like he was. Randy, come on in. Go down to where it says federal law, Spencer. Scroll on down. Go ahead. It'll be in blue. Go ahead. Yes, Randy.
This is what we must speak every day. Well, this is what coaches people up. This is what brings the dumb into knowledge and true knowledge. Coach, as we go to court against all these, this is getting ready to wake up the people. We're getting ready to go to court. Everyone's getting ready to go to court. I don't know if they know it. But this is going to set, this is what's going to change precedent law back to true law. Precedent law become, it took over, Coach, and that's what you're pointing out.
That's right.
The judges made law, and they superseded the Constitution, and people don't know it. So this is what's coaching them up to get back to the truth. So we're getting ready to have to be in the game.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't get it, right? Quickly click on federal law where it says federal law. And I'm not going to take time to read it, folks, but right there it is. The United States Department of Justice, deprivation of rights under color of law. It's a crime when you go into a place and a police officer comes and tells you you have to wear a mask. Folks, that is a federal crime.
Hey, Coach.
Because it's under color of law, which means it looks like law, it smells like law, it tastes like law, but it ain't law. It's a federal crime. Yeah, was that Randy yelled at me? Go ahead.
Coach, let me finish. Okay, my little spitting on the sidewalk issue took me to court. And I understood this and the color of law. This was my whole case. That's why they threw it out, Coach. But if I would have just ran in there and paid the little $100 fine so that I wouldn't lose my little time to work and my little life, I had to give up some time. I had to get in this thing and fight just for a little bit. And what it did, it set a precedent, and it said, you're not going to put this color of law on a person. And they threw it out. When it came to the second hearing, they threw it out. So, Coach, that's my whole point. Folks, we have to be willing to go be spent, to go to court, and to see these little things overturned and changed. That's the whole point of it.
So see, Randy, people don't get it. I hear it all the time. Just comply, Coach. Just make it easy on everybody else. Well, okay, except, look, Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Right there it is. And every time you go in someplace and they tell you you have to wear a mask, they have it's a felony.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Woke up early this morning and wrote this down. The U.S. is a country where a criminal enterprise masquerades as a judicial system.
That's exactly what. So, good word, Larry. And that's what they're doing. Reggie, come on in. I know you're itching to get in here.
Thank you. No, remember when we brought Goodwill at the honking wave and the cops came up and I had approached that officer and I didn't tell him I was a former cop, but I said, under what law? Because the one young one kept talking about the mask mandate. And I said, if you were to arrest us, under what law? And he changed his story real quick. So that was my point, because people don't know these things. That's why we have to educate them. If you, if people would just take the time, like Randy's talked about, of just writing a letter and putting your sheriff's department, your police department, stores on notice saying, we know our rights. And if you don't do this or that, we will take you to court. You can file any court case. It is so easy when you know the laws to just stand there and simply cite them to the judge. They have to obey them.
They don't want you to know the law, do they, Reggie? Hey, folks, stay with me here a second. I'm reading again. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under color of law, Mr. Kroger telling you you have to wear a mask includes acts done not only by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority. And if the acts are done while the official is acting or pretending to act like he's doing his official duties, people, persons acting under the color of law within the meaning of the statute include police officers, prison guards, and other law enforcement officers, officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as a public official. It is not necessarily that the crime be motivated by animus toward the race, color, religion, sex, handicap, or familial status or anything. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to life term or death penalty, depending upon the circumstances and the crime and the resulting injury, if any. Now, I want all of you to raise your hand and say, I am so glad we have this show because I would never have known this. Go ahead. I'm looking for your hands. We're sheep. We got churches telling us, follow the law. Oh, just do, just comply, brother. Just comply. It's just a mask. It's just a mask. Yeah, and tomorrow it's just a vaccination. And the next day, you got it, right? Right? Come on in. New one up here. Come on in, Gwen. And then Lou Ann. Gotta unmute yourself.
Sorry, well, Coach. That was an accident.
That's all right. Okay. Did you not want to speak or was just an accident? Well, no, say something.
I was raising my hand.
Okay. What do you think, Gwen?
Well, you're not, I just asked. Gwen's my wife.
I was going to say, this is definitely isn't Gwen.
No, I'm just amen to that, Coach. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, amen.
By the way, you're welcome to be Gwen in America's society. You're welcome to be Gwen if you want to. That's up to you. No. Go ahead, Rochelle, and then Dale.
Hey, Coach, can I just real quickly tell you some of these crazy or things that Biden has put through? One was the government control over all fuel and transportation, executive orders. You've got the ability to enslave the American people.
He's a felon. He's a felon. By signing that executive order, he's a felon. You guys understand this?
Yes.
Anybody understand this other than me?
These executive orders, they give the president total dictatorial control. He can do, like, he's signing these orders to do whatever he wants to do.
He's a felon. Rochelle, yeah. He's a felon. He's a felon. Yeah. Folks, the president of the United States is a felon. Okay. John Diamond, come on. I'm sorry, Rochelle. Let me get Don in here because I asked him to. I'll come back to you, Rochelle. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Hey, Coach, can you ask Spence to pull up that scripture I gave him from Ecclesiastes real quick and read it and let me comment on it while I'm driving?
Sure. It's up there. It says,
can you read it?
Yeah, if you see the oppression of the poor and the denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight of corruption. For a higher official watches over another official, and there are higher ones over them. In other words, there's always somebody watching. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, and what we have when, you know, everything that you taught, because that's just what my devotional was this morning, so it wasn't really a coincidence, but we have that separation of power. Where each branch has a particular duty, but that scripture, even Solomon said back then, is when you've got government officials whose job it is to watch over another government official, it's like a police officer speeding. Who's going to pull him over and give him a ticket if the other police officer doesn't do it? It's the same with all levels of government. If you have certain branches of government that are tasked with watching over the other branches of government and they fail to do their job, that's the reason for the injustice. And I cover that in my Fighting the Next American Revolution book about the Supreme Court. It was created as the weakest of the three governments. And in the Constitutional Convention, it says, we have nothing to fear from the federal judiciary. We have everything to fear if they unify with other branches. And that's exactly what we have right now. It's what the founding fathers dealt with. All the separation of powers is not going to do anything if you don't put people in positions of authority that are going to hold their responsible.
Hey, folks, we now have the Supreme Court of the United States, unelected, more powerful than the President of the United States. Come on in, Luann.
Yeah. I often thought to print out a lot of this stuff and take it and pass it out. try to teach, you know, that brings up the conversation of God too and what's going on, and try to get another huddle together right downtown.
Yeah, but you know what, Luann? Here's the problem. They don't believe it. Just like people right now still believe the church is the body of Christ. They won't, they absolutely just won't believe it. They just won't believe it, see? They just won't believe it. No matter how much you tell them, they won't believe it. And so when I tell them that the courts are lawless and they have no authority to do that, they act like I'm the crazy one. Come on in, Roger. Come on in, Roger.
Oh, hey, Coach. There's so much.
Go ahead, Roger.
You know, I've never been in court. I've never been. Person was in court because they violated an executive order.
That's right.
But
and that's why
the issue then, even with the, I think it's coming back to the free enterprise system. Free enterprise system is still businesses that are forcing the mask. If we would stop buying things from these people, that will change, because I'm not, you know, I understand the order issue too, but it's the businesses that are really supporting the concept and still wearing them. They want to go into commerce and do.
You're breaking up a little bit, Roger. Here's the issue. Roger's right. But see, the elected officials, they're the ones who are wrong. The elected officials, our sheriff, by the way, did come out and say, I'm not enforcing this. It's not a law. Our sheriff said that. He told everybody, we're not enforcing this. This isn't a law. Now, why won't our state reps say that? Why won't they come out and say it? Why won't somebody stand up and say this isn't a law? Joe Farrell, come on in.
Yes, sir.
Then Dale.
Okay. As you can see, I'm showing my flag. It's up. That's our appeal to heaven flag.
Right.
Because the USA has turned into the CYA.
That's a good one. USA's a CYA. I'll steal that one for sure. Come on in, Dale.
Hey, man, Coach. You know, several different points. One thing is on the private sector, which Roger was touching base on. But even within the private sector, they're required, if they want a mask, then this has to be part of written in the company policy. These are not made from store to store, especially if it's a franchise. They are violating their own code. In other words, if it's not written as a private business, they got the right to do that. But if it's not written in their policy, the individual stores, it's kind of like when you go to Papa John's, they can't just make whatever they want and sell it to you because they have policies they must follow. Now, the second thing is let's talk about law. I don't care if the legislation writes it. I don't care if the president signs it. The fact of the matter is if that law violates constitutional law, it's still no law at all. Third point, last and final point, brother. This is the church. This is the smackdown on the church. When God talked to Moses at the burning bush, God told Moses, Moses, I want you to take the elders and go to Pharaoh. And so when Moses came down from the mountain, he went to the elders. They all got excited, and then they said, oh, go to Pharaoh. No, Moses, you go to Pharaoh, right? They're all excited for the little rally. But when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh, every single plague that came upon him, what was that last plague? Always the Faustian deal down at the end for these pastors. Just put a mask on and you can have your church service. He said, not one hoof, Pharaoh, will remain in Egypt. And what did the elders do to Moses? Look what you did to us. Look what you did to us. Is this playing itself out again?
It's right in front of us, buddy. Nothing new under the sun. John Diamond, real quickly, then I'm going to show you something that's going to shock you. I'm going to leave you on a shock today. Go ahead, John. Hey, Spencer, get ready that it says, brother, where is it? Where is it? Are you coming in, John? No?
Yeah. Hey, I saw somebody in the text said we need to re-educate our children. I'm putting together a team right now of about 12 people, including William Federer, David Barton, Mike Spalding. We're putting together 12 people that are creating a modern-day Problems of Democracy, a 12th grade history textbook that we can educate our children before they get out into these liberal, and it's going to be biblically based. We're not shying away from anything. So just be praying about this. This is going to be a textbook with about 12 scholars who are coming together to teach exactly what it is you're talking about there.
Pardon my French, John. Pardon my French. What in the hell are the public schools doing? Okay. I'm going to end you on this one. I made enough of you mad.
Keeping us down.
I made enough of you mad today. That's okay. I'm going to send you home. I'm going to send you home sick at your stomach today, okay? Brother Nathaniel. I don't know if you know Brother Nathaniel or not. I get his videos every day. I watch him. Some of them are valid. Some of them, it's like everything else. But I watch this thing. Folks, listen, some of you may not want to watch, okay? You may not want to watch. Have you ever seen video of a man having his sex organ turned into a vagina? Have you ever seen a video of a woman's vagina being turned into a penis? Well, sit back and watch. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. Start at the 30-second. Yeah, go ahead and play it. Brother Nathaniel.
You're being Rachel Levine.
Your gender identity is how you feel inside, whether that's male or female. We'll talk about some other issues about that in a couple minutes. And they're very different terms. So you might be male identified at birth, but your gender identity is female. So you would be a transgender girl or woman. Or you might be female identified at birth, but identify as male, and you might be a transgender boy or man.
These are Jewish word tricks to emasculate what Western civilization has granted for centuries as God's creational design. And Levine has a devilish scheme to ruin the lives of every teen.
So the protocol developed in the Netherlands has two phases. The first phase at the young adolescent age is to give what are called a pubertal blocker. Of age to start slowly cross-gender.
I want to get to the surgery.
Wrong puberty. God created the right puberty for teens. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Hide your eyes.
So it's two phases. And then there are follow-up protocols. Most surgical treatment would be done at around 18. There are some procedures that might be done earlier than 18.
Earlier than 18.
And there are some exceptions. Now, this is a great protocol. If you're seeing patients in the cornfields of Hershey.
Great protocol. It's deadly and dangerous. And this freak is going to give out health advice from D.C. I mean, surgical treatment sounds nice enough. But when used for sex reassignments, it's nasty, risky, and brutal stuff. Vaginoplasty is the surgical procedure used to form a neo-vagina in a male. The testicles are removed, and the penis is inverted and connected to a vaginal-created vault in the lower pelvic tissue. This surgically created hole is then shaped by forming the tissue into a neo-vagina. The danger of this procedure, which Rachel Levine promotes, is that it can cause a blockage of feces and urine due to the hole created between the rectum and the neovagina. Phalloplasty is the surgical procedure used to form a neopenis in a female. The ovaries and fallopian tubes are first removed and the urethra is lengthened. A neopenis is then formed by grafting flesh and fat from the abdomen and attaching it to the urethra. A scrotum is made using grafted vulva tissue combined with silicone testicular implants. The danger of this highly invasive multi-tissue and organ sex change procedure, which Rachel Levine promotes, is that it can cause excessive bleeding from the removal of the uterus and can cause infection leading to death by using lacerated tissue from the removed vagina. Transgenderism is a growing money-making...
Folks, sorry to show you that. But it's unbelievable. Isn't it unbelievable? Unbelievable.
And Frank, is that done before they remove their brain?
Evidently.
Don't be sorry. People have to visualize.
Yes, we have to see what it is, folks. And they're doing this to people. They want to do it to kids younger and younger and younger. Under the watchful eye of those of us who call ourselves Christians. Coach, just love them. Coach, don't be so judgmental. Coach, you don't know what it's like to be that person. It's unbelievable, isn't it? They're sick. And the saddest thing is we're putting into a position of power a man, woman, whatever you would call him, who wants to impose this type of behavior, surgery, on innocent children. What is wrong with us? Quickly, Roger, come on in.
You did warn us.
Yep, you'll never get that out of your face, out of your mind, will you? Huh? Yep, except Joseph Farrell. Finish this up here, Joe. No, your hand just up?
I'll finish it up. I'm sorry, I forgot to take my hand down on the other end, I will finish this up. This is what we call true porn. Okay?
Yeah. It's
the destruction physically of men and women and the destruction of our minds watching it happening. Watching it happen and allowing it to happen on a national level.
There's a devil loose. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.